The 5 p.m. hour of Russo and Rizzo, presented by Good Greek Moving and Stores with Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, and Christian Catt. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach up until 6 p.m. today. If you missed any of it, you missed any of the show today, you want to listen back, go to Russo and Rizzo on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places, you can listen to us in full there or watch us back on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X, where we stream live. And on top of that, you have the ESPN South Florida app as well. So you can get it anywhere you could possibly imagine. And with the NBA, opening night for the rest of the league outside of four teams is tonight. And you have college football this weekend, the World Series in Toronto with Dodgers Blue Jays starting on Friday night. You got a lot to look forward to and a lot to bet on. You can do that on the Hard Rock Bet.
No better time, folks, to download that app. That is the Hard Rock Bet app, Google Play Store, Apple App Store. And let me throw another layer in there, Colin. You know I love my world football. I've been betting on Champions League all day today. I won a lot of money with Arsenal yesterday, won a lot of money with Chelsea today. And then later tonight, we're going to have the wild card round for the MLS. You got Chicago and Orlando City going at it. And then on the nightcap, you got Portland and Real Salt Lake. So I am betting world football on the Hard Rock app today and later on tonight. I'll probably sprinkle a little bit on the Cavs and the Heat's home opener as well. Do the same with me on the Hard Rock app. And I am about to be putting together my parlay of the weekend. Boys, my four-leg parlay of the weekend that Colin and I put together on the app, it hit. It was Ohio State, and that line, it was the Michigan State line. They covered against Indiana. And then the two picks with the Cowboys and the Colts. I did $20, you know, to win about $320. That's money in the bank. So keep an eye on our social media at ESPN West Palm. Kyle and I are always putting together our parlay of the weekend with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Sun Belt Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. That is 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Our good buddies at Hard Rock Bet.
Christian Catt is our producer behind the glass today. Christian, how are you today? Did you have a good golf round yesterday?
I did not play yesterday, no.
But you enjoyed being at the golf course without playing. That's probably a change of pace.
You know, it was okay, you know.
How was after the show?
After the show was great. Had a couple of drinks and enjoyed my night. I fell asleep. Mike, you said you fell asleep at what, 9?
10 o'clock.
I was asleep at 8:15.
Dude.
I woke up in a cold sweat at 1 a.m.
Looking for a cold glass of water.
All right, so
texting Lucas Rubio, I'm sorry for slapping your butt.
You got a little drunky poo yesterday.
You were slapping people's butts yesterday?
No, all right, not multiple people. That's
I should say that. Let's not throw that out there. That's my bad.
Let's not throw that out there.
Yeah, I gave him a locker room a dap up.
Yeah,
and
a
Key
and Peele slap.
Exactly.
Yeah. That a boy.
It was unnecessary. It was.
Coach getting out of the game. Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
What's going on? And then, Christian hates being touched by
exactly.
The
That's why I immediately, not immediately, that's why when I came to, I regretted it.
So, Christian, and I was filling in for Theo one of the days, and, you know, I was frantic is the wrong word, but, like, you know, I was running around doing a couple of things, and I kept touching Christian's shoulders. Like, this is where he goes, for Christian finally looked at me and said, Riz, you got to stop touching me. And, oh, my God.
Wow.
Noted.
I don't like being touched.
Noted. Noted. You know,
even any
you
little
became
touch.
What you seek to destroy.
Correct.
Exactly.
Wow. You're supposed to destroy the Sith, not right. Join them.
All right, let's do the 5 and 5.
Drunk Sea Cat is sober, Mike Rizzo.
Yeah, correct.
5 topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, baked tan.
It's time for The 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number 1.
Bear with me here because we're going to start on the ice today because last night the Florida Panthers played Boston in Boston. That was the kind of homecoming for Brad Marchand. If you remember last year, Brad Marchand could not agree to a longer-term deal with the Bruins, so he wanted to get traded. And traded he did to the Panthers, and he was the key piece to going back-to-back as Stanley Cup champions. Panthers go to Boston for the first time since that Brad Marchand trade, and they gave a 2-minute welcome back. Thank you for all you did. Welcome back to Boston, Brad Marchand. We love you. Brad Marchand, watching the video board, in tears, showing a lot of emotion. Here was Paul Maurice, Panthers head coach talking about that and what exactly he saw.
That was the truth on the ice, what you saw from those tears are real. He just wears his heart in his sleeve. He had so many great moments here. Won a Stanley Cup here. He's always being a Bruin at heart. But he plays like He plays real hard, let's just say that.
The key word there, always will be a Bruin at heart. And now post-game. This is after Bruins, Panthers, the emotional scene, all that. Steve Levy with ESPN asks Brad Marchand, do you have any regrets leaving Boston for Florida, even though it ended with a Stanley Cup?
At times, I guess I would say that I think if we went back, I think both sides would have done things differently. I think is how I would say. I think I let my emotions handle some aspects of the negotiations that maybe I would have done differently if I go back, but I wouldn't go back, I guess, if I could put it that way. Is I wouldn't do it differently if I could, because my family and I got to live some of the most incredible memories that we'll ever live through together. And I one of the things I was thinking of going to the rink today was the sacrifices that my kids have to deal with, and all of us that have kids and play the game realize what those are and the time that we're away. And I think them being there for the cup is what makes it worth it.
So no real regrets. He would have gone about it differently. There's a sentiment out there where winning championships with the Florida Panthers, after they already won one the year before he got there, it's a lot more hollow compared to the Stanley Cup that he won when he was in Boston. If you're Brad Marchand, take the money, take the extra success, or does it mean more to stay in one place for the entirety of your career, chasing that smaller percentage chance of winning another Stanley Cup in Boston?
Yeah, first of all, very interesting sound bites because that's a very raw night for him. You saw him in tears on the side of the ice when they were doing all that. But honestly, it sounded confusing when you first listened to it, but I understood everything he said. He is back at home. His family's probably there thinking, boy, this was home and we kind of walked away from it. And now looking back, is it worth it to leave home? I want a cup. Like, now he's sitting there from an accomplished standpoint saying, was it that worth it? But to the same token, he goes, this was a great decision. He did sign a 6-year contract. Like,
let me make a comparison. It's like Freddie Freeman-esque. They couldn't figure a contract out. And lo and behold, it sounded like Marchand still wanted to be there even when he got traded. Freddie Freeman has made it clear he never wanted to leave Atlanta, goes to the Dodgers, wins a championship. Now, I'm sure that heartfelt video, yeah. I'm sure they didn't do this in Atlanta, but you get the point. Like, we see this
in Atlanta. Yeah, it would be nice if Freddie Freeman got paid what he wanted and then won a championship in Atlanta again. Would have been nice if Marchand got paid what he wanted and was on a championship team.
I don't think Panther fans shouldn't be angry about this at all. I think Marchand is thrilled to bits that he has a chance to go back-to-back and help Florida win their third straight. I don't think that's what this is about. This is about him really starting his career off with the Bruins, turning into a really great player in the league with the Bruins, winning a cup with the Bruins, and having the divorce kind of be like, wait a minute, so you guys really aren't going to pay me the number I wanted?
And he's 10 minutes removed from winning a classic, with Verhaeghe hitting the go-ahead goal with about 20 seconds to go. And on top of that, he got the fans appreciating him, cheering him on. He got the tribute video. His family's there. This was home.
Yeah.
This was home for 15 years and more, 20 years. And there's a rawness of emotions attached to that.
It's also hockey. These guys don't value the bottom line as much as any other sport that we consume. Like, the NHL guys are much more willing to take less conventionally if it means staying in the culture that they're accustomed to, staying home and all that.
There's a humbleness, there's a humility attached to it because it is a little bit more family-based.
These are guys that are putting their life on the line in the Four Nations Classic or the Four Nations Face-Off, even though it means nothing to their contracts, but they're going 150% for these exhibition games because they're fighting for their country.
There's a much bigger regionality pride attached to being an NHL player comparatively. I agree with you in terms of the other sports. There's a pride attached to the team you play for and the country you represent. I'm not saying other sports don't do that. It's just you see a little bit more of, quote, it being a business on the other end. Yes, it's still a business. He still ended up getting traded.
Yep.
But more often than not, you don't see that. You see guys who want to stick out their career in one spot and see it through. But, I mean, a great little finish to get, Marchand in a good spot there, and it seemed like he appreciated
it. And Boston stinks now, right? Like, they're not the best, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference.
And they did him a solid because they got him to Florida.
Traded to the damn Panthers.
And this is a team that Florida, who knocked off Boston, sort of ended Boston's reign of being really good.
They hated it.
In the first round, the year in 2000, I want to say 23, the first year they went to the Golden Knights and lost. So it was, there's an attachment there of rivalry. And I think the fact that they did him a solid setting in there, he probably appreciated.
And Panther fans hated Marchand before he came on over. Neither here nor there.
That's it. He's a Bruin.
Number two.
He's a Bruin. Right. Everybody hates a Bruin.
Right.
We got some news in the NFL. We're supposed to have a really damn good Monday Night Football game between the Commanders and the Chiefs. Well, that changed with one announcement. Washington Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels will not play on Monday against the Kansas City Chiefs due to a low-grade hamstring strain. You get a lot of stuff from this. It'll be Marcus Mariota starting at quarterback. I'm redirecting my focus to the NFL Survivor Pool because right now, if you did not use the Chiefs yet, maybe that's an opportunity to use the Chiefs where you'll have a hobbled Mariota-led Commanders team. Mike, have you looked at the slate yet?
I got plays.
Colin, have you looked at the slate
yet? You want plays? I got plays. Patriots, Falcons, Bengals, anywhere you shake it. Take any of those three teams, you're going to be moving on to the next week.
I lost the Patriots last week. I got it, but I don't no longer have the Patriots.
So Patriots is number one for us. Falcons is a good play, but, like, answer this for me. When the hell are you going to use the Bengals?
Like, the Bengals, I used them week one.
Outside of that, by the skin of your teeth, you guys are still alive in this. But regardless, survive in advance. That's what it's about. If you still have the Bengals available, I mean,
you still have the Colts available. They're going against the Titans at home.
Tyrod Taylor is he the start? I mean,
Aaron Glenn wouldn't tell us.
You heard Woody Johnson lambaste my guy Justin Fields, cook him on a skillet. So we know Fields isn't going to play. Those three teams, I think. It's the Patriots, the Falcons, and the Bengals. And the Collins credit too. I used Indianapolis. What was it? What was the home game
against the Cardinals?
No, was it Oakland? Maybe.
Okay, yeah, maybe
it was Oakland.
They won 40-6.
Correct. That's where I used them. So I don't mean to get too cocky here. Boys, this is the time
you're gonna lock in here.
But I think
lock in try to gain against the field, or lock in means take the biggest spread that you have remaining.
I would stay far away from Cincinnati. I would.
Okay.
Tyrod Taylor. If there's a game to win, those winless teams are dangerous. I would say
Bengals
that would be a game
at home.
I look at.
Flacco playing well, just threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns.
Classic game for them to regress
that
and
defense,
have a bit of a hangover.
That Aaron Glenn defense is a sieve. So, like, we're going to end up going with the Patriots probably, but I think those are other good plays.
I've been so chicken, like, just
chicken
really.
chicken bleep. You could say it.
Well, no, I'd rather use the sound effect that we have.
Go
chicken.
Ahead.
What's wrong with bleep? The old man says he's been saying it for 40 years on there. You can say chicken bleep.
He's not my old man.
Go ahead. Go
chicken.
Ahead.
I used the Chiefs last week because I was too afraid of all these either 4.5 to 6.5 spreads. And all those teams won outright that were not the 12.5-point favorites that the Chiefs did. So I just took the easiest path to survive in advance. I'm going with the Falcons this week, and I'm scared less. Like, I am going to be betting on either Michael Penix Jr. or Kirk Cousins to somehow, some way, come out of that game. What are they playing again? I forget.
Like, Dolphins.
Here's
the thing. This is the good week for the Falcons. They're on every other week. Played great against the Bills. Then last week, they were terrible against the 49ers. Even if you want to go before the Bills, that was when they had the win against the Commanders, but then they had the awful loss against Carolina. They're back and forth.
Guys, that Dolphins
This is
team.
A back and forth game.
Okay, all right, we're zigging and zagging. So bad game last week, good game this week.
That's my thinking.
That Dolphin team might win. Dare I say they already have the amount of wins they're going to win for the rest of the season.
Falcons, 7.5-point favorites. I just need to win them outright. I think I'll lock it in tonight. Got to text my guy.
And Atlanta's defense is pretty doggone good. So, their offense stinks. Bijan's great. It's about it.
I would be nervous about the other one. So I'm okay with that. Atlanta.
Number three.
And London's a good player, but I don't trust Penix Jr.
Let's go back to the association. Michael Jordan's going to talk about load management the next time that the NBA on NBC deploys him. Well, he probably has something to say about Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson is missing the first game of the season for many.
A lot of players are. Go ahead.
Many are saying is load management. They haven't outright said it. Remember, this is the New York Knicks, and the New York Knicks fired their head coach, Tom Thibodeau, who ran his players into the ground, didn't take him out in blowouts, ran six or seven guys if you're lucky, and now it's Mike Brown in at the game, setting a different standard for the New York Knicks players where you got to miss game one. You want to manage your load? You can load your manage here, whatever it is.
2025, side note, 2025, I'm still watching Mike Brown be a head coach of a basketball team. That's insanity, but what's the question, Christian?
Underrated, by the way.
Stop.
Underrated. Won 66 games with Cleveland.
Stop.
The NBA tipped off last night. Who's going to be your surprise team in the NBA in 2025, 2026?
I got my team. I took a Brooklyn Nets over, by the way. 20.5.
Surprise you and hit their over, or surprise you and make the playoffs?
Surprise you and hit their over. They're not making the playoffs. I think all eyes are on San Antonio. Everybody's been waiting for them to blow up. And I actually think the Mavericks, I know it's a trendy team. I think the Mavericks are going to be a good team. I do. I think they'll be a good team early.
I'm good.
Well.
I'm happy to hear that from my sister who works for the team. Kyle, I got to go with the Pistons. I think this is, I told you yesterday on the air why the Pistons are going to win a playoff series. J.B. Bickerstaff is their head coach. They're going to win 50 games this year. They're going to beat a lower-end Eastern Conference team, and they're going to have a chance at the Eastern Conference Finals. Give me the Pistons. I like Cunningham. I like Durin. And then in true JB fashion, listen, JB, great guy. Covered the team. He was fantastic. JB is not the guy that wins the championship. It was like that in Memphis. It was like that in Cleveland. But it's the guy that's going to get you to the dance. Give me the Pistons this year as a surprise team to win a playoff series.
Number four.
Let's go to the NFL. The NFL makes a change with the Pro Bowl. Instead of being the weekend before the Super Bowl, that little bye week, it will be the week of the Super Bowl. We're seeing the game on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, flag football game, all-star event. It will be implemented this year. The Pro Bowl festivities will
so they're
be the
spreading
week.
It out during the
they
week.
They still do the
yes.
Pro Bowl, huh?
It
I gotta
still
be
happens.
Remember the last time we
where
talked.
Where is the Pro Bowl this year? Is it in Orlando again?
It is in San Francisco.
So it's where the Super Bowl is?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember the last time we talked Pro Bowl, how do you fix it? Just end it.
The game's going to be on Tuesday night, February 3rd.
I think the cool stuff with the Pro Bowl is like getting the flag football there. You know, flag is a really growing sport. Our former intern, Ashley Clam, is everywhere with the flag stuff. So I'm happy to see stuff like that. It's actually, I'm going to have a different take than I did the last time that just ended. I'm liking how they're implementing other things to grow different sides of American football, like flag football and stuff. That's the route I'm going to take.
I kind of like this, too. It's taking a page out of the book of professional wrestling. Like, it's WrestleMania week. So you have their main event. That's the Super Bowl. Then you have the events going on around it. It's another way to enhance the Super Bowl
put
week.
Put everything in one spot. Everybody goes to the Super Bowl anyway. You want to get people there. Bring the circus to the people. Don't set the circus and wait for the people to come.
Getting on a flight going to Orlando to watch the Pro Bowl.
It's not like Field of Dreams, like you build it, they'll come. You build a Pro Bowl, they're not coming. Bring the Pro Bowl, bring the circus to the people at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's the best way to do it.
That's how people will go. They run into it. To Colin's point, it's like, oh, what's going on? Hey, look at this! And then you all of a sudden have a big crowd.
Bring it to them. Don't let them come to you.
Correct.
That's the way to do it. It's smart. Smart. Savvy.
The NBA should do this.
What
the
are
same.
We, number four?
Number five.
Five.
You never know the number.
Never.
A lot of Florida State talk. Kaiser AD Chris Swagger. Well, someone asked head coach, for now, Mike Norvell, how do you beat Alabama and then lose to Stanford? And here is his very eloquent, perfectly put answer to the media today.
I knew, that game, it kills me with the fact that we went and lost the game. I knew it was going to be challenging. I knew all the dynamics around it. I knew it was going to be a challenging, you know, some challenging dynamics with it. And but to be honest with you, Alabama's a really good football team. Right, so how do you lose? How do you beat Alabama and lose to anybody else? Because nobody else is losing, or they're not losing anybody else.
Well put, Mike.
You want to know what that is? And I've heard hundreds of them being a Cleveland Browns fan. That sounds like a guy who's about to get fired right there. If you want to listen to a guy who is about to get fired and will just basically say anything to get right there. First off, he goes, I don't know how we lost that game. Which one are you talking about, Mike? You talking about the Alabama game because you won that game? Or are you talking about the Stanford game? He's all over the place. Dare I say, it's hard to feel bad for someone who's about to make $60 million sitting on their couch. Dare I say I kind of feel bad for him.
Would you have accepted the answer that he would have preferred to given, because that is probably the correct one?
And what's
I don't
that?
Know.
Yeah, what's like, yeah.
I don't know.
At a certain point, you're right. Like, he's just thinking, anything I say here is just not going to go well.
It kills me.
I don't know how I beat Alabama and then lose ACC game after ACC game.
He started that off by going, it kills me.
He's 5-2 against the SEC.
He goes, it kills me. I can't believe can't believe we lost that game. I knew it was going to be challenging. Mike, which one are you talking about? They asked you two different games. Are you talking about the Stanford game? Because you did lose that one in a disgraceful fashion. How the hell do you lose to Stanford? I'm sorry, mate. Christian, we talk about Northwestern. And
he's not going to throw his players under the bus, and he knows that it's partially his players buying into what he's selling. And the fact is that they go on that slippery slope. They slip. You saw it last week. They know how to stack losses like nobody else. And that's a testament to the coaching. He doesn't want to throw himself or the players underneath the bus. It's bizarre. It's a tough spot.
I don't need to hear from Mike Norvell anymore. I don't think Florida State fan needs to either. Everything
number
he says
five.
At this
you need
point.
To answer for his crimes in some capacity, but yes.
Quick little
number
bonus.
Number
six. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers says he does not hold any ill will against the Green Bay Packers ahead of the first game against them since leaving the team in 2023. That's right, that's this weekend. Rodgers told reporters today that I don't have any animosity towards the organization. Obviously, I wish that things had been better in our last year there, but I have a great relationship with a lot of the people still in the organization. This is not a revenge game for me. I'm just excited to see some of those guys and be on Sunday Night Football yet again. Again, that was Aaron Rodgers saying it's not a revenge game. Pittsburgh versus Green Bay. You
know,
do you buy it?
You know the good thing? Rodgers is not making something out of nothing. Good for him. He's the first time in his life. And maybe the Steeler way is rubbing off on him a little bit. Rodgers last year.
Remember week one, he said it feels good to beat anybody associated with the New York
Jets.
Hang on.
I remind you guys first wrong move Aaron Glenn did was doing what he did to Aaron Rodgers. Let's make that clear now. Hindsight 2020, them being 0-7 on their way to 0-8 at Cincinnati. To the Green Bay thing, I don't ever think there was ill will there. I think he read the writing on the wall that they wanted to do Jordan. They wanted to...
the second they drafted him, that was...
Yeah, they knew they wanted to move on to Jordan Love. And let's be honest, Green Bay, he wanted to go to New York. They gave him his wish of going to New York. Now, did Joe Douglas give up way too much for an aging quarterback that didn't work out? Absolutely. But there shouldn't be any ill will. Packers are playing like crap. I know they're 4-1-1. They should have lost to Arizona over the weekend. Dare I say... Quickly, I love the Steelers at +3, +3.5, whatever it may be on that line with their good friends at Hard Rock.
Rodgers not making a big story out of something. I'm a fan of that. That's a fine response.
It's growth.
Growth. We're learning. I love that. I love that. He didn't make a fool and said, you know, when I was in a cave this summer, I, you know, was thinking about the Green Bay Packers. He didn't do any of that.
No.
Maybe that's a Steeler way rubbing off of him.
I don't mind.
They know they have to win this game.
Don't mind him losing his mind on Aaron Glenn and the Jets, personally. I thought that was rightfully done.
Functional working out can be done over at F45 West Palm Beach. 45-minute classes, two coaches on site. It's easy. There's a location right here in downtown West Palm Beach. Check out their Instagram today. But you show up, you follow along on the screens and see what you have to do in terms of the workouts. It's more functional, so it's about mobility. It's about getting stronger. It's about getting, you know, you're raising your heart rate, getting a sweat going. It's about feeling good about the rest of your day. That's the type of lift that you could get at F45. A different workout every time, two coaches making sure you're doing everything properly, and a bunch of like-minded fitness individuals, loud music, having a good time, class setting, mornings, and the evenings. That's F45 downtown West Palm Beach. Check it out today. Find a studio near you online at F45. Sean Payton had some interesting comments about how the Giants handled their quarterback situation. And Russell Wilson, who never never speaks outwardly about anybody. Had some words to say about it in response. A bit of hostile words. We'll get into that next. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Well, if you're an athlete, somebody who just wants to be a fitness enthusiast, get into better shape, you got to understand that doing it is not only the only part of it. You got to worry about what you're putting into your body in terms of nutrition. Yes, you could do the work physically. You could get up early in the morning. You could go work out. But if you're not fueling your body the right way, you're never going to see the progress that you could if you didn't go to a place like Vitacost Sports Certified Marketplace. Vitacost Sports Certified Marketplace is built for athletes, fitness enthusiasts who like to train hard, but also understand the benefits of what clean supplementation and nutrition can do for your body. Whether you're training for something like a triathlon, a marathon, you're grinding at the gym, or you're just trying to be a little bit more health conscious, Vitacost is your go-to to take that next step in your fitness journey. Their Sports Certified Marketplace, they got over 400 performance-enhancing supplements that are certified, which means that they're free of any banned substances. You can visit vitacost.com/sport-certified to make that purchase today. That's vitacost.com/sport-certified to make your purchase now. Use code ESPN20 for 20% off. That's code ESPN20 for 20% off. When I was training for my Ironman, I don't know where I would have been. I don't know if I would even cross the finish line if I did not have my products with Vitacost. That's from protein, electrolytes, creatine, fish oils, all, everything you could possibly imagine in one spot at Vitacost Sports for the Marketplace. Level up your game today on Vitacost. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Kat. How about this for, take this for size. Russell Wilson, who doesn't say a bad word really about anybody, whether you agree with his antics or not, stretching on the flights, the let's ride, all that nonsense.
Ugh.
Ugh. If you can say that, whatever you want. One thing about him is he's going to handle himself fairly professionally. And Sean Payton, after the game against the Giants, against media availability this week, he said he told the Giants owner, John Mara, that he was hoping that they turned to Jackson Dart to be their quarterback in exchange for Russell Wilson after the Giants have actually played the Broncos. Basically throwing shade to Russell Wilson for no reason, because we know the bad relationship that occurred there and him wanting to get Wilson out of town. And then Wilson said in response, he goes, classless, but not, quote, on Twitter, classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 plus years later through the media. Best part, hashtag let's ride. Bounty hunting. He's bringing that up.
Yeah.
That's a bitter comeback.
It is. It's a bitter comeback, but to be fair, it was low by Sean Payton.
You don't need to bring that up.
It was a scumbag move by Sean Payton.
You don't need to say that.
Now, I kind of give what you tell me. Tell everyone what you said about Payton, because I kind of agree with you. You told me this is a pre-show meeting, your take on Sean
Payton. He's overrated.
Payton. I agree with you.
He's an overrated Super Bowl winning coach. He missed a postseason with Drew Brees as quarterback five times.
He could coach. Don't get me wrong.
Think about it. Their offense multiple times this year against the Eagles and against the Giants has been completely, and he's an offensive guy, completely incapable.
Lifeless.
And it's until that everything is going crap and, the walls are burning down that the offense wakes up. That has been the story of Sean Payton's career with the Denver Broncos.
The Super Bowl is great, with the Saints. And the way they did it, too, with the onside kick, whatever. It's one of the more memorable Super Bowls within the last 25 years.
And they got screwed in the NFC Championship game against the Rams.
Correct.
We all know that.
But to not make the playoffs five times with Brees, it's like Joe Burrow Bengal-esque. Like, the Bengals are on their way.
You can make the argument that Brees was probably under-accomplished throughout his career. The same way that people say that about Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's partially because of Tom Brady's dominance. But, Manning got two. Manning was in the mix.
Well, he was in the NFC. You didn't even see Brady.
Right?
You didn't even see
that's
Brady.
That's a good point. And that's a good point. It's not like he was dancing there every single year. And Manning, you can make the argument for it because Manning had to deal with him.
Who were the teams? Like, the Seahawks, right?
Or the Seahawks, yes. And they lost to the Rams.
Right.
I mean, they had lost to the Buccaneers one time. Against Tom Brady himself. The only time that they actually lost Brady was towards the tail end of Brees' career.
I'm just trying to think of why the excuse factor. Like why
couple
they missed
Niner
the playoffs.
Teams, and then the Packers. Yeah.
Like their division too. I'm trying to think who was like Tampa Bay, you mentioned for a couple years of Brady, but let's even go before that. Why the hell weren't you making the playoffs with the likes of
Carolina had 1 year.
The
with
worst
Cam
division
Newton.
In sports usually is that NFC South. Like through and through. Through and through, that's usually the worst decision. It's kind of unacceptable.
And the one thing about Russell Wilson, yes.
I don't mind the clapback from Wilson.
It was I agree.
I don't mind it.
It was a bad trade. It didn't work out. The contract didn't work out. We're 3 years removed from that. You know, he played for the Steelers. He's played for the Giants. He's a backup now. He is a backup. He didn't even enter the game.
Right.
He is not even – he was a non-factor throughout. And Russell Wilson has handled it like a professional. You got to give him a little credit for that.
I do. And teams like the Bengals who have traded for quarterbacks, Russell Wilson wasn't even in the conversation. So anything that tells you as well throughout the league.
People are out on him.
Right.
They're done.
Right.
And that's fine.
And was I maybe a little early being done on him in week two? Sure. But I think the rest of the league shares that same
opinion. And now you're going to kick a man when he's down? Really, Sean Payton?
I don't mind. Yeah,
you're really going to sit there on that high horse?
Don't mind the
response. When you escaped that game against a Giant team that has played with a little guts, but a bad team nonetheless. It took 33 fourth quarter points to put that team away at home.
What's worse, Bounty Gate or Deflategate?
Because I personally think the Bounty Gate.
They're trying to injure players.
Yeah, I personally, that's a well-being thing.
Yeah, and I'm surprised, like Greg Williams, former Browns defensive coordinator, not a bad guy, but it's like, geez, Bounty Gate might be a bad guy type thing. You know, I mean, that was just, I mean, when it came out, you're like, really?
That was that little dynasty, that sub-dynasty that they had, it was an underachieved dynasty.
It was.
It was. And Breeze is somebody who, you know, most of his career, the NFC, was. But seen an insurmountable of individual success, accolades, 5,000-yard seasons, played with good players. They were a 7-9 ball club for four years. They were they were all over the place in terms of how. And then they finally got great towards the end of Breeze's career when they got Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, you know, good players defensively, Cam Jordan. But they never could get it done in a big spot.
No.
Never.
And you know, the one time they did, as I mentioned, it took magic, a magician on that onside kick to really turn things their way in that Super Bowl.
Really, and it's weird that Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, a backup quarterback and a head coach in the opposite conference, are still throwing jabs at each other.
That just shows you how ugly it was. Yeah. Because if we remember the stories at the time, first off, Nathaniel Hackett, I mean, Colin, I press you to ask me, find me a worse head coach in the history of the league than Nathaniel Hackett. But we all know what was going on there. Russell Wilson was running the show. He had about 5 parking spots, his own personal office. He wasn't training with the normal trainer. He had his own trainer. And give credit to Sean Payton. He went in there and shut that crap down. But to still be on it. Like, my buddies and I say, get off it, mate. Get off it. I mean, it's been years, Sean Payton. Get off it.
Did that trade blow up in their face? Yes. And has all sides moved on? The fact that there's still a little bitterness. I don't like when coaches do that. Not from a coach. I don't think it's a coach's place to talk down on
a
player.
They take the high road.
I agree.
It's usually player.
Coach's job is to take the high road.
It's usually player jab.
Player wants to beef with another player. That's
football.
Especially
Russ. Like, listen, did Russ have a Hollywood,
He didn't say a bad word about anybody.
But here's the thing. You got to get on Russ a little bit for the Hollywood Springs treatment that he was getting with the Denver that 1 year. But, like, at the same time, like, dude, Peyton, grow up, mate. Get off it. I mean, we're years separated from this, and you guys are a 5-2 ball club this year. You already won the game.
Yeah.
Why are you talking about?
Blown out by 40 points in the playoffs
come on,
last year,
man. Like, what are
it's
you?
Not like you're undefeated. You've been in a tight game. You've barely escaped 2 big comeback wins. I know you blew the Indianapolis
he's
game.
Lucky he's got a great defense.
Yeah, and they're lucky that they've been able to win situationally. They're lucky that Bo Nix is a gamer.
Yeah, he is a gamer.
They're lucky that he's a gamer,
and you know,
because the offensive game plan hasn't worked for 3 quarters or 5 games now.
You know what Sean Payton will tell you? Well, I'm the one who wanted Bo Nix. He was always the guy.
He's got the annoying 35-second-long play calls. Oh, and it's like ultra.
And he's freaking chomping the gum on the sideline, freaking out.
Yeah, I'm not a Sean Payton guy. I'm down on Sean Payton.
I think the guy can coach, and he's a good coach. But I agree with you that, hey, man, this guy missed the playoffs 5 times with Drew Brees.
He's tremendously overrated. In terms of the Super Bowl winners.
Compared to the all-time greats, I agree
The Super Bowl winners this century.
Sean McVay, Bill Belichick,
Would you take Peyton or Tomlin?
Oh, God. Probably Tomlin.
I would take Tomlin.
Tomlin's
well.
More consistency with the regular season.
I would take Tomlin as well.
Tomlin makes the playoffs.
And I'm not Tomlin guy either. But that's how it goes. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt. If you missed any of the show today, listen back. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places at Russo and Rizzo. Back at it tomorrow, 4 o'clock, right here on ESPN 106.3.